Hello, this is Donna.
Donna, it's Michelle. What's up?
I made my dad lunch, but he never came home.
I met a cute guy today.
Where at?
At the gas station. He and a friend were passing through.
Where are they from?
Idaho, or somewhere out there. They invited us to a party out at the park.
The park? I don't know. My father is the head ranger. He'll catch us.
We'll take my car. He'll never know.
Okay. Why don't you come over in about 2 hours and I'll be ready.
Okay. And don't worry about your dad. He probably got a bite somewhere else.
Junk Food Dinner, episode 39. This week we take a look at the sexy psychedelic future when we join Jane Fonda as an oversexed space traveler in the campy sci-fi classic Barbarella from 1968. Then tiny aliens invade and terrorize two nerds in the ultra-low budget shot on VHS straight-to-video schlockfest Beaters from 1996. And finally, kung fu, zombies, cannibals, and slave girls make for a great poster. But did they make a great movie? We find out when we check out the 1982 exploitation film Raw Force.
Yeah, let's go for it, man.
Welcome to Junk Food Dinner, episode 39. This is the podcast where each week we scour the internet, video stores, and cable television, looking for the most outrageous and interesting cult films. We're not professional film journalists or critics by any means. We are simply three geeks from Ohio with entirely too much time on our hands. In Ohio, I'm Kevin Moss, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Mark Fredo in New York and Parker Bowman in California. Every week, we'll each bring a cult favorite to the table, recalling our personal experiences with the film, discussing its merits, and arguing why or why we did not enjoy it. This week, we take a look at Barbarella from 1968, Feeders from 1996, and Raw Force from 1982. But first, gentlemen, how are you doing this week?
Doing good.
Pretty good, too.
Good.
Having a pretty good week.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like winter has officially hit us here in Ohio. We've got snow on the ground, and it's cold as shit outside. How's things in New York and California?
A sunny 72 degrees.
You motherfucker.
A rainy 55.
That's not so good.
No, it's just annoying. Like, if it were snow, I don't give a shit. It can snow all day, but not into walking around in the rain.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my house is it's really, really hot, so... We have like the windows open.
That is going to be hellish for you in the summer, I would think.
Well, it's the radiators are on.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, so unless they keep them on all summer.
I thought that, you know, your house just kept heat in like really, really super well. Actually,
no, it's just the radiators are unbelievably hot.
Yeah. So what you guys been getting into this week? Anything?
Well, my brother's been here this weekend, so I was hanging out with him. You know, whenever people are in town, I end up doing stuff that I like wouldn't normally do. So that's kind of an excuse to do stuff like we went to Tom's Diner and ate and just kind of tooled around town. We went to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine because it rules. They went to the Brooklyn Museum and stuff. But so hanging out with him, that's been pretty fun.
Cool.
And then earlier this week, I got to eat at Shopson's, had some mac and cheese pancakes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then I went and saw Black Swan.
Oh, cool. How was that?
It was really good. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I could watch it again. It was so intense. And knowing, you know, how the intensity is going to build and like when all the crazy stuff is going to happen, I feel like might take away from it a little.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. Natalie Portman was terrifying.
Really?
Yeah. She was really crazy.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. It doesn't open here for another week, but I'm going to try to go see it next weekend.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Sweet.
Yeah, I celebrated my birthday this week.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, man.
Yeah.
Thank you much. Thank you guys for the Facebook mentions and stuff like that. I had the most grown-up adult lamest birthday ever. I had a job interview followed by a dentist appointment that day.
Oh god, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Birthday.
Yeah, I should probably just retire now, but it was absolutely the worst interview that's ever happened to me. You may remember from like episode one or something, I mentioned that I had to take this test to become a criminal investigator assistant, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally had that interview 6 months later. Like, I went in, I was like all confident. I was like, man, I'm going to get this. I'm smart. I'm charming. I'm going to do this. Yeah. The interview was with three armed police officers. So I felt like I was in trouble. Like, I could barely make eye contact. I like felt like somehow, like, it was like some sort of bust. Like, this whole thing was like an elaborate thing, and they were going to sit me down and be like, "We know you illegally downloaded Gwar albums." Stuff like this. Which I would never do. I buy all my Gwar albums. So I thought that maybe it would be some sort of horrible sting like this. And
it's entrapment.
Yeah, it was awful. It was like the most nervous I've ever been ever in my life. And yeah, so it sucked. Pretty crappy birthday, I guess. But then I saw Faster starring The Rock, and that was good. So then it ended on a high note.
All right.
Yeah. So did you get that job?
I don't know. It was on Wednesday that I did the interview. And they haven't been back yet. So, okay. I mean, yeah, I know. Well, I'm guessing that if it took me, like, literally 5 months from the time I applied to the time I interviewed, I'm probably not going to find out for another couple of years if I got the job or not.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe you'll just get a check, like, 4 years from now.
Probably. It's silly. The government. Taking the time.
So, I had a pretty interesting experience this weekend. On, I think it was Sunday morning, I should say this week, but yeah, last Sunday morning, I woke up and I was just waking up and I heard very distinctly a voice say, "Can you hear me?"
Ugh.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I turned to Laura and I was like, "Did you say something?" And we were both kind of just waking up and she's like, "No." And so a couple days later, I hear the same thing and I kind of just like forget about it and try not to think, you know, anything of it. And then Wednesday night, I come home from band practice, and it's just me in the house because my roommate, he's on vacation. He's in Cancun. And
spring break.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nobody in the house. It's just me. It's like 1 in the morning. I'm getting ready for bed. And again, clear as day, I hear, "Can you hear me?" And
what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like kind of freaked out. And so, you know, I was like thinking of in my head, like what rational thing could be happening here. As I'm like picking up radio signals in my walls or like is it my cell phone? Like,
Is it Ghost Dad?
Right. Is it Ghost Dad? So it turns out my fucking roommate, before he had gone to Cancun, had put this thing like the size of a quarter behind my bed that repeats that like every hour. I was totally pranked.
Man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a good prank.
Yeah, it's a pretty vicious prank. Apparently you can buy these things on like ThinkGeek or Amazon even. They're called Eviltron. Yeah, if you want to scare the shit out of your roommate, pick one of those up. Because I certainly got a little freaked out by it. So,
yeah. Well, you should punk him by moving all of his stuff out while he's in Cancun.
Yeah, there's still time. He's still not back yet. So if any listeners have good ways on how I can prank my roommate back, send your emails to jfdpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know how I should exact my revenge for this.
How did you find out that he pranked you? Like, did you call him crying? That's what I would have done. I'd be like, "I'm scared. Please come back to me."
Did you call Parker's police friends?
No. Well, at some point, the only rational explanation in my head was that my roommate was fucking with me because it was just too coincidental that he had just gone out of town. So I actually just did some Googling at work and found out about this Eviltron. And I was like, that motherfucker. And then it took me another, you know, couple hours to find where he had hid it once I found out what it actually was. And, yeah.
Well, can I ask what you Googled? Like, shitty roommate prank? Or
Well, I like typed, you know, "can you hear me" in quotes and then prank or, like, device and came up with that thing, the Eviltron.
Yeah, I would never have been able to put that together. I would just be crying deeply and I would just move out immediately.
Right.
Yeah,
like, I don't even believe in ghosts, but they're scary as fuck.
Yeah,
I would have probably just answered, like, "Yes."
Right. Well, yeah, I called Laura and I said, you know, I explained what happened. She's like, "Well, did you answer them?" And I was like, "No." But yeah, that was my week in a nutshell. Dealing with my fake ghost.
Good
the most
prank.
Horrifying thing.
Yeah, good prank, though. I give my roommate the credit.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some of the nerd news. Every week we like to tell you about some of the things that are going on in the world of entertainment that nerds like us might want to take note of. The first piece of news, we all knew this day was coming, but it looks like Wesley Snipes is going to prison. Snipes, best known for his role in the Blade trilogy, is expected to surrender himself at a federal prison in Pennsylvania today and to serve a 3-year sentence for failing to file his taxes. Snipes, who was 48, was convicted in April of 2008 on 3 misdemeanor counts of willful failure to file income taxes and has spent the last 2 years unsuccessfully trying to appeal the ruling. So, yeah, it's sad to hear. Blade's going to jail. Looks like the only blood he's going to be sucking is the gang member he shares the cell with. No, that's not true at all. He's actually going to a very It's called McKean. It's a very white-collar, club-fed kind of prison. He'll be there with a bunch of other assholes that didn't pay their taxes. But yeah, sad to see here Wesley Snipes going to jail.
Yeah,
not
he should have.
No, not that sad, I guess.
He should have, in the last 2 years since he knew all this was going down, he should have ran for office, because politicians don't go to jail. They just get better jobs when they don't file their taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell you what, Wesley, if you want to prank your cellmate, I know about this thing called the Eviltron.
Yeah, I bet Eviltrons are huge in prison.
Yeah.
They're easy to stick up your ass when you're going.
I was
going
to say, you got to bake them into a cake to get them in there.
Right. The next piece of nerd news I have, and this is one that I read, but Parker, I don't know if you've heard about this, but this sounds too good to be true and almost too close to bullshit, so we'll see if this actually comes to fruition. But it looks like the Glee directors will take a decidedly darker direction when they devote half an episode to the world's most famous death metal band, GWAR. An upcoming episode.
Wow, I had no idea. That sounds like the best possible thing that could happen, though.
Yeah, it looks like Jack Black is going to be a substitute teacher on Glee, and he's going to have a sketch where the kids do a GWAR song. Details are still sketchy, but it appears that Rachel and Finn will do a duet of GWAR's hit Sick of You. The song will be true to GWAR's signature style and include Finn dressed in full costume, battle axes, etc. I don't know. Seems like that could be bullshit, but...
That sounds like total bullshit.
Yeah.
It kind of does, yeah. But... It would be fucking awesome. So I'm going to keep my hopes up on this. I've never watched Glee, but I could become a lifelong fan if that happens.
Yeah. So hopefully it's not bullshit, but if it comes to fruition, we will keep you posted on junkfooddinner.com, I'm sure. next piece of nerd news that I have is it looks like Iron Man 3 will serve as the sequel to The Avengers, Thor, and Captain America. Still wondering where the next Iron Man movie will fit in with Marvel's new lineup of superhero movies. Director Jon Favreau finally revealed today that Tony Stark will get the chance to headline his own movie again. He said that, in theory, Iron Man 3 is going to be the sequel or the continuation of Thor, Hulk, Captain America, and The Avengers. So it looks like it's going to try to continue the storyline set up in these new movies and also continue the classic Iron Man storyline. But I don't know. It's starting to get a little too convoluted at this point. I don't know. I think it might be best to take a break from the superhero movies if this is the kind of nonsense we can look forward to.
Trilogies? Get real.
Yeah. When has that ever worked before?
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of all these crossovers and stuff. I think, you know, I mean, it's what put Marvel on the map in the first place, is the fact that you could pick up a comic book in the 60s and it would have Captain America and Iron Man in it, rather than these sort of superheroes that DC had that were, you know, did they know each other? Did they exist in the same world? We wouldn't know for another 10 years until they, you know, said that they did, or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, you know, so it's an obvious step to do this in the movies. But I mean, if you're going to have five superheroes in every single movie, then it's probably going to get too crazy to care about.
Yeah, I just think it's going to get way over the top quickly, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll be worth watching. But speaking of all-star superhero movies, the porn industry is making a Justice League movie before Hollywood gets to it. A big-budget Justice League movie might be a better part of a decade away as DC figures out how to effectively combine different franchises. But the porn industry doesn't feel like waiting that long, which is why Justice League, a hardcore parody, exists. Along the people in it, we've got Rocco Reed as Superman, Chanel Preston as Wonder Woman, and Ron Jeremy as the Penguin. So get ready for that. So don't download it illegally, though, or you might find yourself in court like the people that downloaded that other Batman porno that we talked about.
True.
Another piece of nerd news is it looks like the top 10 bombs of 2010 has been released. The top 10 films, the major, you know, major studio releases that were released in over 1,500 theaters, the ones that grossed the least. Any ideas on which movies bombed the most in 2010?
I'm going to go out on a limb and think Hatchet 2 probably is on the list.
There was too much bullshit for me to have any idea what was the worst.
Yeah, Hatchet 2 actually did not make the list. I don't think...
Oh.
That probably didn't open in 1,500 theaters, which is probably not on here. But at number 10, we've got Splice, which grossed $17 million, which sounds like a lot, but is obviously not. Youth and Revolt grossed $15 million. My Soul to Take, the Wes Craven movie, only got $14 million. Repo Men took in $13.7 million.
That was the worst.
Yeah, Case 39, $13.2 million. Let Me In, the Let the Right One In remake, brought in $12.1 million, so obviously wasn't super popular. Extraordinary Measures took in $12 million. Jonah Hex took in $10.5 million. MacGruber only took in a measly $8.5 million. And
well, my dad saw that, so.
They got some of his money in that $8.5 million. And number one, The Warrior's Way, which I guess just recently came out, but only made a measly $5.5 million at the box office. So.
Yeah, it only came out like 2 weeks ago, though. That's unfair. That is unfair, because that movie looks good.
Well, I guess it only took in $3 million the opening weekend, and is only projected to take in $2.5
million more. Yeah,
which still puts it at the very bottom of the list.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to make it up too far on the list. But yeah, so some pretty interesting choices. I the only one of these that I actually saw was Let Me In, which I thought was pretty good. So
I think the only one I saw was Splice.
Oh, no, I saw Splice, too. I did see that. Which also I thought was pretty good, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to see A Warrior's Way. I was going to actually go see it the other day, but I saw Faster instead, which was a good choice.
Yeah. And the last piece of nerd news that I have is... we posted this up on the blog, but I just wanted to talk about that goddamn Real Steel movie that I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for. Just the only reason I bring it up is because I think that effectively counts as a board game becoming a movie. That's clearly Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Absolutely.
In movie form. I mean, it looks dumb as shit, but I'll probably go see it.
I will probably also go see it. Anytime robots fight, I'm down for. Even though I know going in it's going to be pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you guys see that, and then in a couple of years I'll watch robots fight for real.
Did you ever watch that show on Comedy Central where the robots fought?
BattleBots?
Yeah, BattleBots, that's it. Yeah. I'm just hoping hoping this movie captures the excitement of BattleBots. All right, well, let's get into some of the cool stuff on DVD this week. Every week, I like to tell you about some of the DVDs coming out to your local rental chains or ones you can pick up online. The first one we've got is The Town from 2010, written and directed and starring Ben Affleck. This is one I could really give a fuck less about Ben Affleck, to be honest with you, but this is one that's got a lot of critical praise and was on a lot of the top 10 best of the year list. So I don't know. I might want to check that out.
Yeah, I thought the trailer looked really good.
Yeah.
But I just never got around to seeing it. It was like right when I moved, and I just don't think I ever saw it. But yeah, I thought it looked pretty good. I'll definitely check that out.
Although it's Boston Bank Robbers, and I don't know if I can stand a full movie of that goddamn Boston accent again. I did it once with Good Will Hunting. Never again. Next DVD we have is Exit Through the Gift Shop, also from 2010, featuring the artist Banksy. It's the story of how an eccentric French shopkeeper and an amateur filmmaker attempted to locate and befriend Banksy, the infamous graffiti artist. It also talks about Shepard Fairey and some of the other more infamous graffiti artists. But yeah, it's supposed to be a pretty cool documentary. Laura saw that. My roommate saw it. They both said it was really good. So I don't know if you're into that kind of whole graffiti world. And they do some pretty crazy, incredible shit. I'm sure it's an entertaining watch for sure. So check that out.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, my roommate has a book with a bunch of Banksy stuff in it. It's pretty awesome. Next DVD we have this week is The A-Team from 2010, starring Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper, and directed by Joe Carnahan. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
Nah.
Yeah. I'm surprised that wasn't on that bombs list, though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I guess this pulled in enough people. I mean, it's got that built-in nostalgia. I never really got too huge into the A-Team. I knew people in college that like were obsessed with it, that they watched all the time as kids, and I guess had some weird nostalgia for it, but I don't know. It never did it for me. I thought it was all right. Mr. T's cool, but other than that, I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, how many times can you pity a fool and stay fresh?
Right.
I was more of a Dukes of Hazzard man myself.
Never got into that either.
Oh, the Dukes are great.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll do a Dukes of Hazzard movie at some point.
Oh, God, please, no.
Well, I guess we won't.
Next DVD we have is Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, from earlier this year. This was directed by Zack Snyder, who we talked about back in October, who directed the Dawn of the Dead remake. He's also done stuff like 300 and Watchmen. But yeah, this is that animated owl movie. But it actually looked pretty cool. I don't know. It might be one of those ones that was worth seeing in 3D just for the crazy owl flying effects. But I don't know. This might be worth checking out now that it's on DVD.
Yeah, I saw the trailer in 3D before something.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, and it looked awesome. But I don't know if it'll be as cool in two lousy dimensions.
Right.
Yeah, I really wanted to see this. And I told my friend John Holmes that how bad I wanted to see it. And he made fun of me for being gay for about 3 weeks. So I never got around to seeing it. I guess I'm not secure enough in my masculinity to have gone to a movie theater to see a movie about owls.
Right.
There was a billboard for this right by my house, and every time we walked by, I would do that little owl's voice. So I should probably see it.
Yeah.
Just to continue that trend.
Absolutely. Next DVD we have is The Other Guys from 2010, starring Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. I don't know. You might be interested in this if you're like Will Ferrell or Marky Mark, but I'm pretty much sick of both of them. So I don't know. It does have Samuel Jackson and The Rock as two of the most badass cops on the force, but I don't know if that can save this buffoonery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, every single movie that comes out has Samuel L. Jackson, so that's not much of a buying right. force anymore.
That's true.
He's all CGI anyway.
Yeah.
He doesn't exist.
Nope.
More slapstick nonsense comes in the form of Cyrus from 2010, starring Marissa Tomei, Jonah Hill, and what's that asshole's name?
Martin Short. It was actually called Cliff.
John C. Reilly.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. John C. Reilly starts dating Marissa Tomei, and she has an adult son played by Jonah Hill that gets in their way. I don't know. I heard this was kind of funny, but...
Yeah, I heard actually pretty good things about this.
Yeah.
I like John C. Reilly, and occasionally I like Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei is fun.
Next DVD we have is Micmacs from 2009. This is directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet, who did Amelie and City of Lost Children and all that stuff. More, you know, crazy, visually stylized French silliness. But yeah, I'll probably check this out as I like most of his other movies.
For sure. Yeah, I didn't see this either, so.
Yeah, this is one Laura saw in the theaters and said it was good, so I'll take her word on that. Next DVD we have is Double Take from 2010. Now, this is kind of weird. It's a documentary/fiction hybrid. It's about Alfred Hitchcock late 50s and early 60s films against the climate of Cold War era political anxiety, using a meticulous array of archive footage as well as a story by novelist Tom McCarthy about Hitchcock encountering his double during the production of The Birds. It's so basically like Alfred Hitchcock finds like a doppelganger of himself, and it's presented as if it was real. I don't know. It sounds kind of weird.
Did we talk about this on another show?
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
Sounds real familiar to me. I thought we talked about it in Nerd News or something, but maybe not. Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out. I like Alfred Hitchcock quite a bit, so I'm sure, I don't know, it could either be really cool or just, like, really experimental and silly, so, but either way, I'd say worth checking out. The next DVD we have is The Immaculate Conception of Little Dizzle. I just had to include it because of the title. After he loses his high-paying job, Dory takes a gig as a night janitor in order to pay a rent. Alone late at night inside a market research firm, he soon discovers the company is experimenting on other janitors. So, I don't know. Sounds like it could be pretty interesting. And it's got the name Little Dizzle in the title.
Yeah, anytime anybody experiments on janitors, that's a pretty interesting story.
Right, absolutely. Next DVD we have is Trouble in Mind, special edition from 1985, starring Kris Kristofferson. In the fictional and hypnotic Rain City, ex-cop Hawk, played by Kris Kristofferson, has just been released from prison after serving hard time for killing a man. Meanwhile, a young down-on-his-luck father, Coop, played by Keith Carradine, and his radiant, innocent wife, Georgia, head towards the city with their new baby in search of a new life. But yeah, I've heard this is actually pretty good. It's never been on DVD before, and it's kind of like this weird kind of neo-noir thing. It looks, you know, kind of like film noir, but also like kind of futuristic. I don't know. It's one of those kind of lost VHS classics that's finally making its way onto DVD this week. So if you like Kris Kristofferson and probably a lot of gun shooting, check it out. Next DVD we have this week is Slave. When David's fiancée Georgie is kidnapped while on vacation in Spain, she becomes the trophy of a dangerous and masochistic psychopath known as the White Arab. While Georgie fights for her life and her sanity, David must wade through a quagmire of corrupt officials, drug dealers, and crazed locals in an attempt to discover her location and rescue her before it's too late. So, I don't know. Sounded like could be a cool little thriller.
Yeah.
Next DVD we have is Frenemy, starring Matthew Modine and Zach Galifianakis. You guys have any frenemies?
I don't think so.
Nah.
I had to look it up. I didn't know what that meant. But, yeah, I guess it's a friend who's also your enemy. But yeah.
Yeah, I think any slang that like came out of Mean Girls should just go away forever.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fetch idea.
But yeah, Zach Galifianakis, after a group of friends witness a horrifying crime, they wonder how they were lucky enough to escape unharmed, while one friend did not. Through the self-discovery as they start to understand the meaning of their own hilarious yet twisted fate. I don't know. This sounds kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Fuck it.
Next DVD we have is Straight to Hell Returns. Alex Cox's Straight to Hell Returns is a slightly tweaked re-release of his 1987 cult classic punk rock spaghetti western comedy Straight to Hell. Cox, never a director to shy away from a challenge, co-wrote the script with Dick Rude, who also steps into the role of Willie, one of the trio's ne'er-do-wells that also includes Sims, played by Joe Strummer, and Norwood, whose shoes are filled by Cy Richardson. Have you guys ever seen this movie? It's got Joe Strummer and like Courtney Love.
No.
In it. It's this weird like 80s, like they said, punk rock spaghetti western. It's got like the Pogues in it as well. And I really wanted to like it. I saw this not too long ago, and it just was not very good. I mean, Joe Strummer is not a very good actor. Courtney Love is an even worse actor, especially in 1987. It just wasn't that great, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see a slightly tweaked version. Maybe he kind of made it a better movie, because like I said, it has a lot of the elements that I think could make it a sweet cult classic. Like, it's got Dick Rude, who was also in Repo Man. It sounds like a cool premise, but I just did not care for it. So maybe this retweaked version will kind of spice it up a little. And then the final DVD I have this week is Killjoy 3 from 2010. Did you guys see any of the other Killjoy movies?
No.
The demon clown Killjoy is resurrected once again, but this time he is not given the name of his victim and is trapped in his realm. Using a magic mirror, he lures four unsuspecting college students into his realm where he can have his macabre fun. A mysterious man returns, and we finally discover who Killjoy's true target is. But yeah, Killer Clowns. You gotta see it.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad, but I had to include it. But yeah, if you're a sucker like myself and you like to buy movies for a third, sometimes even fourth time, here's some Blu-rays you can get this week, so you can see them all over again in high definition. First one is True Grit from 1969, starring John Wayne, no doubtedly being re-released on Blu-ray this week to tie in with the new Coen Brothers semi-remake of True Grit, which will be hitting theaters shortly. Have you guys seen this original one with John Wayne? Mm-mm. As the one-eyed, broken-down Marshall?
I have.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It does kind of rule.
If you like John Wayne, and who doesn't?
Eye patches.
Pick it up. Next Blu-ray we have is Vampire Circus from 1972. A little girl is brutally slain by a vampire in a tiny 19th century Austrian village. Seeking revenge, the townspeople invade their foreboding castle and kill the vampire for his crime. Have you guys ever seen this?
Mm-mm.
It's supposed to be pretty good. It's supposed to be kind of like a cult classic, and it's got tons of bonus features.
I think it's on Instant Watch. It might be in my queue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, check that out. Next Blu-ray we have is Hard Boiled from 1992, starring Chow Yun-Fat and directed by John Woo. Have you guys ever seen this? This is a classic Hong Kong action one.
Yeah, this rules.
Yeah, Chow Yun-Fat stars as one of the all-time toughest, coolest cops who teams up with an undercover agent to bring down a ruthless gun smuggling ring. Features some of the most amazing action cinematography in film history, which I would agree with. It's a pretty awesome movie, and I bet it looks awesome in Blu-ray. So if you haven't seen that one, now's your chance to see it very crisp and clean on Blu-ray. And the last Blu-ray we have this week is Dear Mr. Gacy from 2010. This true story thriller is based on the experiences of 18-year-old college student Jason Moss and his relationship with notorious serial killer John Wayne Gacy. As part of a school assignment, Moss sends a letter to Gacy in prison, portraying himself as a vulnerable kid. Gacy, suspicious at first, puts Moss through a series of tests before surrendering his trust to him. What follows is a twisted psychological game of cat and mouse between two master manipulators in which Jason's life is turned upside down and Gacy discovers new dimensions within himself. So, I don't know. I'm not really one that's really big on like serial killer stories, but this sounded kind of interesting. So I might.
Because the main character has your last name.
That, yeah, that was one of the the drawings. But yeah, I don't know. It could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like a real life Silence of the Lambs kind of thing.
Yeah. Did you guys see the trailer I put up on our weblog for that Dahmer versus Gacy movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, I think that movie looks like a lot of fun. I've always wondered who would win in a fight between John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Gacy.
I think it would be Dahmer. He tried to make living zombies, and that's fucking awesome and creepy.
Yeah.
I'm going with him. He also ate brains.
That's true.
Yes, that's true.
But he was killed in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wussy.
You hear that, Wesley Snipes? People get killed in prison.
That's right. And finally, let's talk about some of the television shows that are coming out on DVD this week. The first one we have is 24, the complete 8th season. Holy shit, 8 seasons already of the Kiefer Sutherland starring action adventure, whatever. You guys like that show? I honestly have never seen a full episode of that.
I've never seen it either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so if you're into that sort of thing, get it. Kiefer Sutherland was awesome in The Lost Boys, so that might be reason enough to check it out.
Donald Sutherland is always awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Next DVD TV show on DVD we have is The It Crowd, the complete 4th season. Have you ever seen this show?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Parker, you'll probably hate this because it's British.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that it's British, so I've steered clear.
Yeah, it's
so funny.
Yeah, it's a sitcom about these nerdy guys who work in the IT department of this company, and yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I normally am not one for British humor, but it's like good British humor. Like have you ever seen that show Peep Show?
No.
It's kind of along the same lines, which I think is also very funny. But yeah, Parker, I do not dig on the British humor, but this I give my seal of approval.
Yeah, we were talking about this at work. I was wondering aloud when the 4th season would be available.
Well, now
all
you know.
6 episodes.
Yeah. The next TV show on DVD we have is Hawaii Five-0, the 10th season. This is the classic Stephen Dano of yesteryear. So if you want to relive your Hawaii Five-0 fantasies.
Did the new Hawaii Five-0 already get canceled?
I'm sure it has. I didn't see a single episode of it.
Me either.
And the final TV show on DVD we have this week is Trailer Park Boys Say Goodnight to the Bad Guys. Say Goodnight to the Bad Guys is the final Trailer Park Boys episode before the big farewell movie Countdown to Liquor Day. Have you guys ever seen this Canadian show?
Uh-uh.
It is hilarious. It's one of my favorite comedies, and it's a shame that they're wrapping it up, or have wrapped it up. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's just, you know, about, it's this kind of faux documentary TV show about these guys that are hillbillies in Canada, which is funny to see the Canadian take on hillbillies, which is pretty hilarious. Lots of cool Canadian slang, you know, like frig off,
hoser.
Yeah. But yeah, really funny. So if you haven't seen that, check out Trailer Park Boys. All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to jump right into our first movie this week, Barbarella. So stick around.
Creature of the future. Her name is Barbarella, and she makes science fiction something else. Jane Fonda is Barbarella. Barbarella is a 5-star, double-rated astronavigatrix Earth girl whose specialty is
love.
Shall I tell you what I would like?
I think I know.
Her top secret mission is a real wing dinger.
I got him. Good many dramatic situations begin with screaming. Hand me a garment.
See Barbarella do her thing with a nice angel. Da, da, da. With the warm, friendly Iceman. With a cold, evil Black Queen.
Hello, pretty, pretty.
With the charming hand-to-hand Romeo. see Barbarella do her thing in the wild, excessive machine.
Sort of nice, isn't it?
In the biting birdcage. In the chamber of dreams. In the labyrinth of love. In the deadly dollhouse. In the palace of pleasure. Find adventure beyond your imagination when you get lost in space with Barbarella.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 39. The first film we're going to be taking a look at this week is 1968's Barbarella. I wanted to do this movie for a while, but what kind of made me remember to do it is about a month ago, Italian film producer Dino De Laurentiis died, and I wanted to pay tribute to the man by covering one of the movies that he produced, and he produced hundreds, so there was a vast pool of stuff to pick from. But one of the movies that I felt really encapsulated the cult aspect of his career is definitely 1968's Barbarella. This stars Jane Fonda as this kind of sci-fi, I don't know what she is specifically, if she's kind of like a detective or just like an agent for the government. But mainly her role is just to look good in skimpy space outfits. And she's on a mission to find a guy named Duran Duran, played by Milo O'Shea, who is this doctor who is going to make a weapon, which is unheard of in the futuristic world that they live in. War is a thing of the past, and they're afraid that he might use this development to bring violence back in the world. But the story is not really that important, and that's not really why you're there. You're there for the crazy, garish, late 60s psychedelic backdrops, the crazy costumes, and of course, Jane Fonda just looking hot as ever. This was based on, much like the movie Gwendolyn that we talked about, on a French comic strip called Barbarella by Jean-Claude Forest. And this was directed by Roger Vadim, who was married to Jane Fonda at the time. When this movie came out in 1968, it definitely encapsulated the crazy, you know, this swinging late 60s French atmosphere that you would hope. The backdrop of this movie was kind of the inspiration for a movie called CQ, directed by Roman Coppola, which I don't know if you've ever seen, but is a pretty interesting kind of backstory, which was kind of an homage to this. This is an interesting film to me just because it's what I think of when I hear the word campy. You know what I mean? It's very, just very over the top. I mean, just the epitome of late 60s excess. I really like the soundtrack. I think it's a cool psychedelic score. And Jane Fonda, like I said, is just looking super attractive. The movie starts off with a zero gravity strip tease, which despite this movie being PG, we get a lot of great shots of Jane Fonda's naked body, including a few naked breasts, which, again, you know, France, late 1960s. How can you not, you know, love that filmmaking style? But yeah, she just travels from locale to locale in this weird space backdrop, encountering various people who all want to have sex with her, and she happily obliges and ends up saving the universe in the process. So what did you guys think of Barbarella?
This was like the second and a half time that I've seen this movie. I say second and a half because I was at a bar the other night and it was on, and I kind of watched some of it then.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that it's, you know, I'm not there for the story. I'm there for the sets and the soundtrack and Jane Fonda looking great in space. So I mean, that's pretty much the long and short of it. This movie is extremely campy and kitschy, and yeah, pretty much hits it home as far as late 60s French space sexiness goes.
Right. Wrote the book on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard of this movie, but I've never seen it. It seems like sort of a, you know, like what, you know, like you said, like one of the go-to movies if you're talking about campy sort of cult movies. It seems like this is sort of a rite of passage, as it were, into that realm. A lot of people will bring this up first when talking about those kind of movies. And I mean, yeah, I thought it was really fun. It seems, you know, never seeing this, it seems like Austin Powers completely rips off this movie in every way, more or less.
They definitely took a lot of cues from the style of this movie, for sure.
Yeah, and definitely the music, too.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it was fun. I couldn't, like, Jane Fonda is, like, super foxy in this, but also I've only ever seen her old. So when looking at this, like, I just kind of imagine her old face, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, she seems more of, like, a young version of a really old broad than just a young foxy broad to me. So that was kind of a bummer. Also, I have a bone to pick with Sir Mix-a-Lot now after talking trash about Jane Fonda's butt, because it is very nice. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun movie. It's, you know, I like the first 15 or 20 minutes of this, I was like, man, this is like the best thing ever. But there's not much else to it, like you guys said, in terms of, you know, plot or acting or compelling characters or anything like this. So, I mean, it's basically just, you know, the sets and the cool, you know, visuals of it. And you're not going to get any deeper than that. So it kind of, you kind of drift in and out near the end, or at least I did.
Yeah, I liken this story kind of like to Wizard of Oz, except replace Dorothy with, you know, this weird space woman, and replace, you know, the Scarecrow with all these, you know, with a fucking angel, and, you know, the lion with that hairy guy, and she has sex with all of them, you know, just like in Wizard of Oz. But yeah, I mean, it's just her going from one ridiculous situation to the next, and all culminating with her in that ridiculous sex machine that the dude tries to pleasure her to death with. It's just all very campy and very sexually suggestive. I mean, there's scenes in this movie, like there's a part where she's put into a little room with a bunch of birds, and the birds all pick at her, and the entire reason that that's there is just to remove more of her outfit for the next scene. You know what I mean? It's like just various situations where we can get her in different skimpy outfits, and, you know, it's that's just what it's all about. And if you're into that kind of thing, I think you'll have a lot of fun watching this movie.
Yeah, that parakeet room is all, I mean, aside from what happened to you via your roommate earlier this week, that is the most horrifying thing I could think of happening.
Right.
I fucking hate birds, and they are frightening to me. I would hate to be stuck in a room with just one of them, let alone hundreds of them.
Yeah, there's also that scene where when she crash lands on this planet, the first group she encounters is a bunch of little kids, and they all have like these creepy dolls that attack her, and tear away more of her clothing. but yeah, I thought that scene was really cool.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you got to think that if she wasn't wearing all of that clothing, they would have to like rip at her flesh. So
that's true.
Ultimately, for the best.
Yeah. This film is also kind of notable because it has a lot of great character names and stuff, and bands have taken their name. Like the most obvious example is Duran Duran, who took their name from the scientist that Jane Fonda is looking for in the movie. Also, the band Matmos took their name from this movie, and also a company that makes lava lamps. It's also called Matmos, which is this weird psychedelic bubbling sea in the movie. So pretty interesting. I'm surprised there's no band called Dildonis yet, though, because I think that's what great. Or no, Dildano. I think that's a great name in the movie, and it sounds Dildo.
There's probably a band.
Yeah, let's hope so. But yeah, I also wanted to talk about the director of this movie, Roger Vadim. I don't know what this guy did right in a previous life, but he was married to Brigitte Bardot, and he was married to Jane Fonda, and he was a film director in France in the swinging 60s. The kind of tale this dude must have pulled in his lifetime. Unbelievable. He died back in 2000, I think, at the age of like 70. But what a 70 years they must have been. So, Roger Vadim, I salute you.
Yeah, well played.
Yeah. Now, there was actually, it's interesting because there were a few people that were going to play Barbarella that didn't get cast. I guess Jane Fonda wasn't the first choice. I guess Raquel Welch was originally slated to play Barbarella, which I think they made the right choice by going with Jane Fonda.
Yeah, I would agree with it.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that Raquel Welch is not foxy, but she's just not as foxy.
But Jane Fonda works out.
That's true.
That's true. Also, maybe Raquel Welch can be in the remake of this, since she's way more foxy now somehow than she used to be.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is, you know, when we were talking about the campiness of this movie as one of the things that draws us in, or at least draws me in, I'm surprised that this movie actually was not a musical, just by how ridiculous and campy it was. You just expect at any moment them to break out into song. But luckily, that dream was realized, because in the early 2000s, they turned this into a stage musical, which I'm sure was ultra gay, but somewhere in my heart, I would have loved to have seen that being performed on stage.
Yeah, I actually thought that this might turn into a musical when I was watching it, like the music that picks up when they're on the ice world and they've got that weird squid sled. I thought the music picked up and I was like, oh shit, it's a musical! But it was just cool music. They didn't actually sing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's funny you guys mentioned a remake, because a remake of this movie has been in the talks for what seems like forever. It seems like every year or so we hear rumors that a remake is going to happen, but as of yet it has not happened. The most serious it ever got was, it looks like Robert Rodriguez had actually been tapped to be the director of the remake, and that Rose McGowan, of course, was going to be going to be Barbarella, and they were all set to shoot and had like an $82 million budget, and for some reason it just fell through and never happened, which in the end is probably a good thing. I think no reason to fuck with this. You're not going to capture that same feel that you would have in the late 60s. I mean, it's totally a product of its time, and I don't think it can exist, you know, in any other time and place than 1968 in France. I just don't think that would have worked.
I would agree with that. I mean, it probably could have been cool, but not as good.
Yeah.
That, and it would totally be rated R.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of nudity in this movie.
Yeah. So much nudity and so much like sexual situations and whatnot. I just, PG, it's boggles my mind. It's just one of those things that illustrates how ridiculously, you know, just antiquated the rating system is. If you can go into a store, pick up two DVDs like this and fucking, I don't know, American Tail or something else that's rated PG, and they both have the same rating, and this one has full, you know, Jane Fonda nipple and
the other and one an entire has sex a mouse sh- holocaust.
Right. But yeah.
I wanted to mention that the guy on the ice planet who's wearing the bear suit,
yeah,
I was not expecting for him, when he takes off the bear suit, to be more hairy than the bear suit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I made the same comment.
Yeah, I thought he would get less hairy.
Right. No, yeah, he took off that bear suit with another bear suit underneath attached to his skin. Oh, yeah, I also want to mention that we have a famous mime, Marcel Marceau, as Professor Ping in this movie. So after having that mime from Home Sweet Home on Thanksgiving, decided to mime it back up again with Marcel Marceau, the real mime in this movie.
The real mime.
The real mime. Not like that third-rate mime in Home Sweet Home. But yeah, I guess that just about wraps it up for Barbarella from 1968. If you enjoy campy, psychedelic space adventures, definitely check it out. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about 1996 Speeders, so stick around.
Dinner, episode 39. At this point, I'd like to introduce my roommate, Aaron Routzen, who's going to tell us all about 1996's masterpiece, Feeders.
Well, when I was in high school, I dated this guy who is actually one of my best friends now, but he used to always make me watch like terrible things that I was scared of, like Aphex Twins window licker video and like Come to Daddy and all this other stuff that I was scared of. And CKY2K, et cetera, which I wasn't scared of, but it was just annoying. And one day he brought over this VHS and it was Feeders. And I notoriously like won't watch horror movies. Just ask Mark how frustrating it is to
very hard to commandeer the living room.
And all I want to do is watch Intervention over and over. And Ryan was like, yeah, let's watch this. And I was like, I don't know. Like, am I going to be scared of it? And he was like, if you're scared of this, like, we're breaking up because this is the funniest movie ever. So we watched it, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And ever since then, I've imitated the dialogue with several people I also forced to watch it, because I ended up buying my own VHS copy from Blockbuster at some other point, and which is actually the one I made Mark watch when I gave him the gift of Feeders.
Yeah, that's true. The plot of this movie, if you want to call it that, is aliens have been, observing Earth, and now they just want to eat everybody. So they send their screensaver ship down to Earth and drop some scouts, and they eat some people. And then these two nerds are on vacation at 6:45 in the morning taking pictures of a town that flooded.
With a cool shutter effect.
Yeah, with a cool shutter effect. And they meet these babes. And so the basic plot is aliens attack Earth, and a bunch of nerds are caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
The film was directed by the Polonia brothers, who have done something like 35 movies.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the long and short of Feeders. But this movie is just...
Well, you can also do the Feeders dance after you watch it.
Yeah, the aliens pretty much just shake around when they try to move. But the...
they bobble.
Yeah.
Sort of strawberry jam involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're filled with pudding. Just everything about this movie from start to finish is utterly ridiculous. The dialogue, the music, the video camera work, the screensaver effects, everything.
The main titles.
The main titles, yeah. It's just, the greatest twist ending in cinema history.
Yeah, don't blow it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give it away, but
no spoilers.
Yeah, you know, we watched this movie, and I would say this is one of the best worst movies that I've ever seen. And, you know, it's no Birdemic, but it's certainly better than The Room. I'm gonna go on record and just say fuck The Room. I don't think that shit's funny. I think it's just bad. So I was immediately drawn to this, and I can't believe that I hadn't seen it.
I can't believe you hadn't seen it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was gonna, I was gonna bring it up, and you'd be like, oh yeah, saw it.
Yeah, fucking Feeders.
Yeah.
No, the Polonia brothers are best known for their debut film, Splatter Farm. Have you guys seen that one?
No.
Donna Michelle production.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you guys say whatever horrible things you want to say about this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, Feeders is, it's made on a camcorder for like $500. I mean, I'll give you the scenario in which you would probably be seeing Feeders unless your roommate brings it to you. Is you're at Christmas.
On a silver platter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're at Christmas and like your nerdy cousin that doesn't really talk too much comes up to you and tells you that he made this movie with his friends, and then you spend the next like hour in his bedroom sitting on his bed watching a movie on his TV, and that movie would be Feeders. It's like just made by the nerdiest dudes ever. It's these guys. I mean, the dialogue is ridiculous. I don't know if they really think that's how people talk or what, but god, just
I don't think he's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the effects are hilarious. I mean, it's just really just cheaply made. But at the same time, I was really engaged by the true, punk rock, just do-it-yourself mentality of these guys. Because after the movie, I have this on DVD. I bought it for $2, which I think is an adequate price to pay for this DVD for Feeders and Feeders 2 on one disc. After watching this movie, I watched this entire like 40-minute interview with the guys about the movie that's on the DVD, and I was really charmed by like their genuine love for movies, and they just make these movies out of the their love for film, and they know that they kind of suck, and they know that they're low budget, but they just do it anyway. They just go out and make these movies. So I have to commend them for their sheer, output and ability to make movies, because that's awesome. I really respect people that just go out and do it. But at the same time, this movie is just so low budget and silly that, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it is really fun to watch at first because you are just so amazed at how bad these people are and how nerdy they are. I mean, the casting for the women in this film, I'm sure, just went, "Hey, mom, can you be in my movie, please?" Like, that was the casting process for this movie. So, I don't know. I thought it was fun for a while. It's a little over now. It's like an hour and 8 minutes, and even that's pushing it a little bit. I think it would have made it a lot of fun, you know, maybe 30-minute movie. I don't know. Yes, I'd say it's worth watching.
Yeah, I never saw this movie or heard of it. But a couple of months ago, me and my wife were at Amoeba Records, and she was like going through a bunch of DVDs, and she brought this up to me. She was like, "Look, this looks bad. We could watch it. Maybe you could put it on the show." And I was all, "That's cute, wife. Sure. It's $2. We can buy it. You're helping out with the show. That's adorable." Because, you know, for every 100 movies that come out, maybe, like, you know, or every 100 bad movies that come out, maybe one of them is funny enough to, you know, actually watch, and the rest are just horrible and bad and boring. So we bought it, and I just put it on my shelf and didn't worry about it until I got an ecstatic email from Mark, who, it sounded like he just found the Holy Grail. He was like, "Oh my fucking Jesus, we got to watch this immediately." And I was excited that I actually own the movie. Because that's probably a highlight when it comes to the three of us picking movies, is if they pick something I own. That way I don't have to use Netflix. It's always a delight for me. But yeah, this movie is fucking terrible. it's really, really awful. The dialogue is atrocious, and the acting is even worse. I don't know. It's hard to begin talking about how awful it is. This movie, it's also very fun to watch because of the horribleness up until about halfway in, and then the last 45 minutes are just these two, the nerdy douchebags, walking around a dark house with a candle, with no dialogue, no action, no nothing. Just walking around, looking over here, looking over here, looking around this dark house.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the same problem I had when we watched Spider-Baby, oddly enough. Just people walking around the house. I guess there's an entire genre of film where...
Maybe that was an homage.
Yeah, this is pretty awful. The aliens, we get to see through their eyes from time to time. And I think they were going through for like a Predator sort of heat vision look.
Yeah.
But it really just looked like... I thought that maybe the Beastie Boys would jump out and be like, "So what you want?"
Right.
It was pretty awful. Everything about this movie is awful. But it's
in the
fun.
Best way.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, Aaron told me about this movie, and then she showed me those clips that I sent you guys on YouTube, and I probably watched them 100 times. But the one of the dude making the face at one of the Polonia brothers, I don't know which one, making the face at the gas station, then going over and asking Michelle how she's doing.
Yeah.
I thought that was powerfully sad. Every time that I watched that, it made me really, really sad.
He can't handle it.
I couldn't do it. When I saw it,
"What are you doing?" Yeah, to him, he tears up.
It was too much. But when I watched it in the full movie, it obviously wasn't as bad. It was just something about the way that she said it made me very upset.
In context, it's not sad. No. It's just pathetic.
But yeah, the phone conversation between Donna and Michelle is definitely still
That's
my favorite part.
Probably the best moment in the movie for me.
The sad thing is, I think Feeders 2 looks a little too self-aware of how bad it is, so it might be too intentionally like trying to be funny.
Yeah, it is a Christmas movie though, so if you want to watch it for Christmas time.
Yeah.
What was that other one? What's the one that the trailer is at the end of Feeders?
Yeah, thing? on the end of the VHS, there's a trailer for another Polonia
Terror
Brothers
House.
Movie. Yeah, called Terror House, and that looks incredible. But these guys have so many movies, and some of them have never even been released.
Yeah, they're pretty prolific.
So
yeah, that thing is also on the DVD of Feeders, and I know because the DVD is literally someone put in a VCR tape, hit record, and made a DVD. I mean, it's a straight VHS transfer. So yeah, I mean, that's
how they made the movie.
Right?
Too.
Yeah, exactly. So I look forward to the Blu-ray edition of this soon when it comes out, which I'm sure it will. But yeah, it's just ridiculous to me that how these guys got a video made that we could find in New York and California and Ohio.
It was distributed by Blockbuster. Like somehow they got in with Blockbuster because that's where I bought it.
Yeah.
And that's where Ryan would rent it all the time, like constantly. And then finally, I think that they were just like, fuck this, let's sell it. So I think that's how it fell into my hands.
Yeah.
What a great day that was.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we were able to do this on the show.
I'll tell you what, as far as like low budget, shitty shot on video movies go, I'd watch this any day of the week over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Thanksgiving is like your barometer for hating stuff. You guys hate that movie. Sure. I had to listen to Mark bitch about that movie for a while.
Yeah.
And Feeders was the
yeah Feeders magic last elixir. Night. Some Feeders saved my life.
Oh. Yeah, I love how the aliens in this are just basically puppets being moved with like sticks.
Yeah. With the sound of that sucking thing that they use at the dentist as their nose.
Oh, also, speaking of dentists, I'm pretty sure that doctor they take the guy that they hit with their car to is a dentist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
so
think he's going to be okay. There's nothing I could do for this man. He has too many cavities.
If you guys have not seen this, I would strongly recommend buying the DVD for $2 somewhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Anywhere you can find it. Just pick it up. And I am certainly going to seek out more Polonia Brothers stuff.
Yeah. It's made in 1996, but you could swear it was made in 1986.
Yeah.
True. They do have that bitchin' LeBaron or whatever they're driving.
Yeah.
If it were made in 86, I would be praising the special effects.
Oh. A decade too late.
Yeah.
I also love how all the women in this movie wear really dirty Reeboks.
Oh, yeah. And they all have wedding rings on. They all have wedding rings.
I'm convinced that those girls are the brothers' wives.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced of that,
God.
Too.
So that's why their dialogue together was so natural.
Yeah, because they have that conversation
friends for
all
years.
The time.
Yeah.
So good.
So, yeah, I was waiting all week, you know, with bated breath to see what you guys thought of this, and that's pretty much what I thought was going to happen. I would have been pleasantly surprised if you guys were as on board as we are, but
Team Feeders.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching it for like 10 years now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably.
It's part of me.
I can see throwing this on, you know, one night if you're
a week.
Yeah, it's like a party trick.
Not one night a week, but, you know, yeah, if you have a bunch of people over, you know, you're kind of in the right mood, a little intoxicated, and you want to watch something ridiculous. I can think of worse things to throw on with a group. You definitely want to watch it with a group of people. It's one of those movies, if you watch it by yourself, you'll probably just hate it outright. But if you watch
you're
it with a group.
You're just going to get sad when they ask her how she's doing. Right.
If you watch it on a date when you're 16, though, it could change your life.
I could see that.
The best was that I actually saw the friend of mine that made me watch it last week. And we were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I made Mark watch Feeders. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Feeders, that fucking movie you made me watch 10 years ago. And I like did an impression of the alien, and he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that movie sucks.
Didn't stick with him.
No. No.
It's been with me forever.
That pretty much wraps it up for Feeders. When we come back, we are going to discuss Raw Force, the greatest poster ever made.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural charge, bon voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, B's on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. Well, you didn't even touch my skill. You gotta go to one killer B, and he ain't for the kill now. Chop that down, that's all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bain. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, I've been a dip down. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw.
Big John Taylor, mercenary, soldier of fortune. He's more than a man. He's a walking death machine. Hi. Andy O'Perrin, hi. Sexy undercover cop. Hi. Her deadliest weapon is her body. Mike O'Malley, Hollywood's top stuntman.
What do you want us to do?
Fight our champions.
Only this time, the action's for real. And Rick Chan, black belt, primed for action with one blow. The death blow. Only two words describe the power and fury of this unstoppable team. Raw force. Join them as their carefree vacation cruise turns into hell on the high seas.
What was that?
Final port of call. Warrior Island. Uncharted and unexplored.
We should not be here.
Burial grounds for martial arts masters from the past. Their resting place is defiled. They rise from the dead to avenge their honor. Who will win? The living or the living dead? Join John Dresden, Jillian Kesner, Jeff Binney, Raymond King, and Cameron Mitchell. As they band together with the incredible power of raw force, untamed and unleashed to kill.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner. Up next, we have Raw Force, a.k.a. Kung Fu Cannibals from 1982. This is a movie that I've known about the poster for a while. My friend Jono and I used to just like scour flea markets and stuff like that and looking for crappy movies. And one day he found this and he bought it. And we never got around to watching it ever, but we always looked at the poster and loved the poster or the cover of the box. I think one time we like photoshopped ourselves onto the poster. We just pretty much have been worshiping this poster for a while. And I forgot all about it for a while until, you know, about 2 months ago or something, he sent me something on the Facebooks saying, "Hey, remember that poster? That poster was awesome, wasn't it?" And I was like, "Holy shit, you're right. You know, I got to post this on the Facebooks for the Junk Food Dinner." And I did. And that got us all excited to do this movie. And when we met up in quotation marks with Michael from All Clues, No Solutions, he just happened to have this movie. And so we begged him for it and he sent it to us. You know, we wanted to see if a movie could live up to the best poster on earth. And it totally does not. I didn't think.
Not at all.
I mean, it's a really good poster. On the poster it says that there's only one blow involved in the movie, the death blow, which, I mean, right there in itself sells you. But yeah, the movie, I couldn't really tell what was going on in it. Like, it's like not an overly complex movie by any means, but for some reason my brain just could not fathom what was happening. Like, there would be, you know, like a bar fight, and I don't know whether I was blocking things out or if the movie just didn't say, or if I was so bored with it I just didn't get it. But I'd be like, why are these people fighting? Who is this guy? Like, it seemed like every time a character was doing something, I was like, who is this guy now? Is he new or has he been there the whole time? I don't remember him at all. I don't know whether I was going senile during watching it or if it's just horrible. Probably a little bit of both. But the plot, and I don't usually do this, but I'm just going to read it from the Internet Movie Database because their plot synopsis is very good. It sums it up very well. A group of martial arts students are en route to an island that supposedly is home to the ghosts of martial artists who have lost their honor. A Hitler lookalike and his gang are running a female slavery operation on the island as well. Soon, the two groups meet and all sorts of crazy things happen, which includes cannibal monks, piranhas, zombies, and more. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's basically what the movie is. Just these weird non sequitur scenes where sometimes there's zombies, sometimes there's piranhas, sometimes there's a whorehouse. I don't know. I could not understand it for the life of me. But how did you guys feel about it?
Okay. I felt very much the same way that you did. I put it on and I was pretty jazzed up at the beginning because that opening scene is pretty all right. And then it just, ugh, It just like went straight downhill. I had no idea what was happening. I did not believe that those guys knew karate, those three dudes. I didn't understand what was happening on that boat. I thought that that lady that ran the boat was the most annoying person I'd ever seen. I just didn't buy any of it. Not buying it. Sorry, poster. You let me down. And the thing is, I had this like Grindhouse Experience box set thing that I bought at Best Buy for like $5 or something. And this was on it. But since there was no poster, I never watched it. So if I had, I watched like Confessions of a Police Captain and The Children and there's like 10 other ones. But I didn't watch this one. There's probably like 5 in that box left that I haven't watched. And this was one of them. And if I had, I probably would have tried to talk you out of doing this for the show. But, yeah. So if you like looking at posters, I would suggest Raw Force. But if you like watching movies, I would suggest Feeders.
Yeah, like you guys, I hadn't really heard anything about this movie before. And I'd only heard of the movie when, Parker, you posted that poster up on Facebook. Ooh. But yeah, like you guys, I was super excited when I saw the poster because... Yeah, how can you not get excited? I mean, just take a look at this poster on our website. You'll know what we're talking about. But yeah, so I was super excited, but I didn't really know much about this movie, and I started looking into it before I watched it. You know, saw that it was also called Kung Fu Cannibals. You know, there's cannibals, zombies, and all this stuff. And I was super excited to watch it, and I threw it in. And I got to say, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I really liked it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I just had a good time watching it. I mean, this movie delivers on everything that it promises. I mean, there's nary a frame of film that you see that does not have either naked breast, somebody getting kicked in the face, zombies, or white slave trade. And those are all things that I love, especially in movies. So, you know, in real life, I mean, obviously that's better, but... In movies, you know, we take what we can get. But yeah, no, I thought this was a lot of fun. It tried to be all things to all people. It was kind of like part weird sex comedy. It was weird, white slave trade movie. It's also a weird like kung fu movie. All in all, I mean, it wasn't spectacular in anything that it did, but it sure as hell put a lot of fucking shit into a movie. So for no other reason, I got to give a thumbs up for that.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I couldn't understand why I wasn't enjoying it. I was like, well, here's a Nazi karate guy who just stormed in on a couple having sex and he's pouring gasoline on them. This should be awesome.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's just missing. It's missing something.
Yeah.
For
there's
me.
There's one ingredient that just isn't here. And I don't know what it is. Maybe aliens.
I would say probably the missing ingredient is competent actors because all these people definitely suck. I'm not saying this is a well acted or a well crafted movie by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, it is total B-movie garbage. I mean, I think it's actually in the public domain at this point. You can watch a full copy of it on YouTube or hit up our friend Michael over at All Clues No Solution and get a nice DVD copy, which is the one we watched. Looked very good. And
but the movie looked good.
I'd say watch this. I mean, if you like crazy... I mean, because it was just another one of those movies where, you know, every 5 minutes something more ridiculous was happening on screen than was 5 minutes ago. And I don't know. I usually enjoy those type of movies. It's definitely a mindless movie, but it was a good mindless, in my opinion. I was going to say, and it's directed by Edward D. Murphy, but not Eddie Murphy. Which I was confused about. I thought Eddie Murphy directed this.
That would have been fantastic. There is a scene that I really, really enjoyed in this movie. There's a party for some reason.
For all the right reasons.
Well, yeah, there's this party, and two people are talking. And this lady's talking about, like, fetishes and stuff. And there's this guy who's just like, that's really sick. And it makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah, there's also... the scene where I think it's also at the party where the religious guy is talking to the girl about selling her body to the devil or whatever. And it's awkward where he's like, no, Betty, the devil's no joke. It is definitely weird. I think that's part of the charm. I think that's why I like it. It's the weirdness. It also said to be continued at the end, which leads me to believe they're still keeping it open for a sequel.
For Raw Force 2.
Yeah. Raw Force 2. 30 years later.
That would be fantastic. I would love to see these guys. I would love to see that guy who works at the Burbank Karate School, what he's up to now. I bet he's still working at the Burbank Karate School.
Yeah. This also did have an actor named John Locke in it.
Yeah. Well, Lost reference. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I am sure that when they eventually make the sequel, it's not going to be... I mean, the poster's not going to be nearly as good.
Yeah, they just don't make posters like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, it might be best just to buy the poster first. Mm-hmm. And then think about getting the movie. But yeah. I say get it.
I say don't get it. Just get the poster. Well, actually buy the movie and just keep it around. And like leave it on your coffee table. And then people will be like, wow, that movie looks awesome. And they just go, it sure is. But then like don't let them watch it or borrow it or anything like that. Just put up appearances. And don't let them listen to this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, this movie was filmed in the Philippines, which... I really hope it's covered in that Machete Maidens from Hell documentary about movies shot in the Philippines, which I'm sure it will be, at least some footage, because how could it not?
Hopefully it's the footage with the piranhas, because I'm fairly sure piranhas do not live in the Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really pissed this movie didn't take off and like spawn arcade games and a Saturday morning cartoon, because that would have been great.
That arcade game would have been great.
I bet... an 8-bit Nintendo game of this movie would have been incredible.
You'd just be walking around punching piranhas as they jump out at you.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling women's shirts off.
Collecting fetishes.
Yeah.
Well, that's Raw Force. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
All right, well, that just about wraps up episode number 39 of Junk Food Dinner. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Join us next week. It's going to be our Christmas show and our last show of 2010. We're going to be looking back at the year that was and talk about some of our favorite movies from 2010, as well as getting into three Christmas movies, including Silent Night, Bloody Night, Ernest Saves Christmas, and Scrooge. In the meantime, make sure you're checking out junkfooddinner.com. There you can find all our back episodes and listen to them individually. Or, listen to them all in one sitting. Or you can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes or Blueberry or all that other good stuff. Also, you can find links to send us a message either via email at jfdpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Or you can give us a call at 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. And let us know what you think of the show, or if you have any movies that you'd like to recommend. So until next time, this is Kevin Moss, Mark Fredo, and Parker Bowman for Junk Food Dinner. Saying adios, everybody. We will see you next week.
Poster. That poster was awesome, wasn't it? Poster. I mean, it's a really good poster. Poster.
Poster. Poster. Posters.
Posted that poster.
That's really sick.
That's why I like it. You gotta see it.